Well, into our series called Encounter. Actually, this is the last Sunday of the series, and we're talking about Encounter. And today we're going to talk about the fourth man in the fire. Bow your heads, close your eyes, let's dedicate this word to God. Thank you, Father, you brought each and every person here and also watching online to hear the word of the Lord this morning. May it bring truth that sets them free. Bring life, encouragement. Father, let this word be rhema to the words, that it be a seed to the heart that produces your life in us. For your glory we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me start by saying this, and I've said it before. The most precious commodity that we have in life is time, isn't it? And even the psalmist said in Psalm 90 that if we live at least 70 years, which is 70 years, or even 80 years, then we would have been blessed to live that many years, right? So, here's the story. A 106-year-old cowboy in Texas recently passed away. He was asked on his last birthday earlier this year his secret to his longevity, and he told them that for the past 50 years, he had sprinkled a little gunpowder on his cereal each morning. He left behind 8 children, 21 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot hole in the crematorium. Of course, we know that's a joke. Okay, all right. But seriously now, when people come to this moment, when they know that they are going to die, they instinctively want to send a message. They want people to know their story. Like the prisoners of the Nazis in a Warsaw ghetto camp, and they saw people being shot to death or starved to death. They took notes, they wrote notes, and they stuck them in the crevices of the wall because they wanted somebody besides the Nazis to read their notes, their message, and to know their story. Or like the people in the Twin Towers, before those towers came down, messages were going up all over the place. They were from all kinds of people up there to their loved ones. See, when we come to the final moments of our life, when we realize that all these things that we might have spent chasing, like success, reputation, wealth, security, comfort, ease, they mean absolutely nothing, don't they? And all you're left with is what you believe and what you base your life upon. So, question. I'm going to ask you many questions this morning. So if that moment would come to you, and it will, what would you write? What message would you want to leave behind? What is your story? Now, in the Bible is one of the greatest stories ever written. And it's one of the most well-known, familiar chapters in the Bible. And this is this chapter in Daniel chapter 3. And that moment came in the lives of three young men, men of great promise. They had rose to positions of promise in the most powerful nation of the world. And here they were. They had hopes and dreams of building families and living deeply fulfilling lives, doing noble things for their people and for their God, until the moment when they heard those words in Daniel chapter 13, verse 13:14, which says, "And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the idol I made, very good.'" In other words, hey, then everything is solved, no problem. "But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Now, this is a thrilling chapter in God's Word. And if you really study it and you meditate on it, it's literally pulsating with drama. You've got to take the time to really read it and read it in depth. And it's a chapter that's filled with lessons about spiritual conviction and devotion, and also about the supernatural protection of God. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. Now, here's what I want you to see in the story. When the moment comes for people to leave this life, everyone realizes that death is inescapable. There's nothing we could do. In fact, often our last message is one of regret that we even have to leave this life. But here, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, death is escapable. All they had to do was bend a knee, just bend one knee, to worship that golden idol. All they had to do was do that, and their nightmare was over. They could have been restored back to the positions of power, honor, dignity. They could live, they could be restored. But instead, they headed toward an unimagined pain and death. And just one word could mean life for them, but they wouldn't say it, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't even bend one knee. And Nebuchadnezzar was shouting out, life or death, boys! Make your choice! And they chose death. Now that's what I call unshakable devotion. Would you agree with that? And you would say, yeah, but they must have been superstars in faith. They must have had an incredible upbringing, mentoring, or something that made them so incredible men of God. But no, I believe on your PowerPoint, that kind of unshakable devotion to God is possible for ordinary people. And ordinary people who lived after them proved it. And they say to the king, the God we serve can save us, but even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. We will not bow down to worship your idol of gold. And that looked like their final words. Because in verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. Literally could be translated, the expression of his face changed. So at first, old Neb tried to play the nice guy. He tried to woo them on their side. Why? Because they were valuable to him. They were young men with great promise. They were proven, reliable servants and leaders. But in the face of unshakable devotion, of staggering commitment to face death rather than disobey God, old Nebuchadnezzar totally lost control. His attitude changed toward them, and he ordered that furnace to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. So that number 7 in the ancient world meant a lot, as much as you could possibly do it. And here Nebuchadnezzar says, crank that furnace up. Make it as hot as you can make it. You know, in our house, the girls used to turn our thermostat up to 24, 25, sometimes even 26 degrees. And I thought that was hot. Right? Imagine what it looked like to be their final moments in life. They've been faithful right to the end. They could see the end coming. They knew the end was coming. They knew it when they heard that first command, bow down to the golden statue. Now, every single exit for them is closed. And they feel the heat. They're bound up with ropes, all their clothes on, turbans, trousers, ropes, and they're carried up by the strongest men. They're warriors, they're soldiers, and as they're being carried up, they feel the heat, and as the men get to the mouth of the furnace, they literally collapse and die because of the intense, scorching heat that they feel. And now, they're in the fire, and they're waiting. They're waiting for the searing pain. They're waiting for the smoke to fill their lungs. They're waiting for their lungs to literally be suffocated. But nothing happens. Nothing happens. There's they don't feel anything different. And suddenly it begins to dawn on them. Hey, it doesn't even feel warm in here. Even the ropes that bound us, they've disappeared. Listen, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But listen, that's not the best thing. On your PowerPoint, this is the best thing. It's a miracle that leads to a divine encounter. How'd you like to have an encounter like that? Wow! Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement. One translation uses the word intrepidation, which indicates there was an element of fear that overtook Nebuchadnezzar. And he asked his advisors, weren't there three men we tied up and threw into the fire? And they replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of God. There's a fourth man, and they're having a little meeting right there in the furnace. Question, who's the fourth man? You know, scripture doesn't really say about this, who the son of God was or the angel of God was, but I believe it was Jesus. You know, most scholars believe this was literally the pre-incarnate Christ. He came to earth in his form way before he came to earth as a baby in a manger. And this is what they called the pre-incarnate Christ, or a theophany. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God himself appeared in that fiery furnace. Say, wow. Question. Ever wonder what they said to each other? Ever wonder what the fourth man told him? Proud. The Father in heaven was, how much pride he had. How amazed he was at their loyalty and their devotion and their commitment and their courage and their love. And because of that one act of devotion, their names would be remembered, that they poured out gratitude, adoration, and worshiped like they never had ever worshiped in their lives before. Amen? The furnace looked like the end of their lives, but it turns out to be the greatest thing that they ever experienced. It was the can't miss experience of a lifetime. And it was all because that furnace becomes the place for the encounter, the living God. God meets us in the furnace today. Clearly we see on your PowerPoint, God decided to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace and not from the furnace. Sometimes God delivers people from the furnace, but sometimes, and I say a lot of times, God delivers people while they're in the furnace, the trials of life. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. You know what? Today Jesus says, meet me in the furnace. Follow me. Follow me to that place where unshakable devotion can lead you to. Maybe painful might seem like the end. But listen, it turns out to be the place where Jesus is. And it turns out to be the safest place. And it turns out to be the place of an incredible encounter of a lifetime. Verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out!" And so they came out of the fire. I say, wouldn't you love to have seen that? The satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Wow. Then Nebuchadnezzar's response. Oops, I had something up on my screen here. Here's his response. "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands." Something is going on in this man's life. You know what that something is? He's just had an encounter with an act of God Almighty. And he says, "Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who said anything about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses turned into piles of rubble. For no God can save in this way." True today. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. See, it says he didn't just restore them. He promoted them. He lifts them up to new positions of authority, responsibility, of leadership, and of servanthood. Question, one more question. Did you ever wonder what the rest of their lives might have been like? Did you ever wonder that? Their names are really never mentioned again in Scripture. But I wonder if they ever thought that how easily it might have been that they could have missed that adventure. Just if they had just given into just a little bit of fear and just bent one knee, they would have missed the greatest encounter with the fourth man in the fire. Every year, on that anniversary date, if they ever got together to remember. I wonder if they dragged those old clothes out of the closet, the turbans, the hat, the trousers, and they would put them on. The clothes that the wives tried to throw away. And they put them on to remember when they were young men, full of faith, full of courage. When they defied the king, walked through the flames, and they spent a few moments in the presence of the living God. Wow. I'll bet they never, ever forgot that moment. I believe they would mark them for life, and they would literally take that event, those moments, those memories, to the grave. But before they did, they would pass their story on, and they would leave an incredible legacy of faith to the generations after them. That's our job. Amen? I believe they gathered their families, kids, grandkids, all they did it all together, and the kids and the grandkids would shout out, or "Dad or Grandpa, tell us that story again. Show us how it happened." Wow. You know, one of the reasons, and I've taught on this before, I think this is a very relevant message, because we studied this message today because I believe there's a great danger for us as Christians living in this comfortable North American world. The danger is that we can make flame avoidance, furnace avoidance, the primary goal of our life. And we can end up praying to God, make my life easier. Make it more comfortable. make it more livable for me. Take away the obstacles. Make it smooth, comfortable, pleasant. Here's what I believe. On your PowerPoint, that God calls us to a dangerous life as he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because he has something better for us. Today, I believe Holy Spirit is asking you, he's asking me, to consider doing something just a little bit dangerous for him. We are all potentially glorious creatures. Amen? We are not ordinary people. We are made in the image of God. We have been called by God. We've been gifted by God to be used for God's purposes, to reach this world for Jesus Christ and to turn it upside down with the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen? It's so easy to lose sight that you're called to be salt and light. Light on a hill. So I said, let's not get so attached. Let's not get so bound up and enslaved by the fears of this world. And let's not forget our call, our duty, our ministry that Jesus gave to every single one of us. He said in Matthew 16:15, as you go, he said to the disciples, he said to them, and he says to us today, as you go into the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Whoever believes the good news and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. A word for today. Amen? For you and I today. Listen, I believe one of the greatest dangers we face today is ending up living insignificant lives for God in realms to advance in the kingdom useless, right? And the greatest danger is that we will have no real story to tell. We are called to a deeper measure of devotion. Deeper measure of devotion. I mean, there are golden statues all around in our world today. Here's their names. Comfort, ease, security, success. Too many people in too many churches have gotten the idea that following God guarantees an easier life. It's not true. When you sign up to be as a follower of Jesus Christ, wow, you realize there's a lot of stuff that's happening to me that never happened before. But the grace and the power of God runs through me. God is with me. Amen? And I'm just about done. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, is a list of heroes of faith. And just a few of them are mentioned. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, I don't have time to mention all of them. All that they faced and all that they did. But when I think about the heroes of faith, I wonder how many of those heroes of faith actually had easy lives? How many do you think? None of them did. I don't know about you, but me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask those heroes of faith, just even the ones mentioned in the Bible, I'm going to ask them, now, I read your story, now you tell me your story. And they're going to tell me their story, and then you know what they're going to say to me? You know what they're going to say to you? Now you tell me your story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a story to tell. Daniel had a story to tell. David had a story to tell. Peter had a story to tell, right? Timothy had a story to tell. Corrie ten Boom had a story to tell. You say, yeah, but they were superstars of faith. They were exceptional people. No, they were ordinary people who just grabbed on to an unshakable devotion to follow Jesus Christ. That's what God wants of us. Jesus said to his disciples many times, follow me, follow me. And throughout history, people followed him by the hundreds, by the thousands, and they walked the same path that he walked. Through servanthood, through sacrificial generosity, through community, through suffering, persecution, some even gave up their very own lives. They went to the furnace because they loved God that much. Probably the best commentary on this chapter is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 34, that says, these three, through faith, quench the violence of fire. It's a testimony that even in the midst of all the fiery trials of life that we may experience, through faith, we can conquer. Through faith, God will give us the spiritual victory. Do you believe that? Whatever you're going through, whatever fire, God can give you the courage and the faith to conquer that fire. I don't know what furnace you're facing. It could be, maybe it's family, maybe it's financial hardship, maybe it's the loss of a loved one, maybe it's an illness that you're struggling with, or even maybe it's even this challenge that God is challenging you to give, to be a sacrificial giver, or maybe just to be a tither. There's always some challenge, right? Maybe it's just getting off your duff and saying, you know what? I'm going to serve in the house. I'm not just going to do one thing. I'm going to do two or three things. I want to serve here wherever I can. I'm doing it for Jesus. Amen? Or maybe it's just this. Maybe it's just surrendering your life totally to Jesus with an attitude that says, whatever, whenever, however you want to use my life, do it for your glory. Write my story. Clearly, we see in this story in Daniel chapter 3 that we can encounter, no matter what we're going through, we can encounter God in every fiery trial of life. I'll finish with the scripture. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a praise offering? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We can walk in confidence through every trial, every situation, every problem in this life. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we ask you to fill us with this unshakable devotion that so many people in the Bible and those who lived after the Bible was written, that they had. We need this type of devotion to face every storm and every furnace that we will face. Father, we want to have a story to tell. Thank you, Jesus, for being our friend, the one who never leaves us and never forsakes us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want you to keep your heads just bowed and eyes closed for just a few minutes. I want to say to someone, you might be here today and you need a new beginning. You've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Today, believe that God sent his Son to the cross to shed his blood to pay for your sins. And believe that you can receive him into your heart for a brand new start in life and receive this incredible gift called eternal life in heaven. Maybe you've never done that, or maybe you're here today and one time you made a commitment but you've fallen away from Jesus, and you're far from Him, and you need to invite Him to just invade your life again. So you might be either one of those two people. So I want to lead you in this prayer today. But when you say this prayer, mean it with all your heart. Mean it with all your heart. Are you ready for this? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, be Lord of my life. Please forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed. Today, I ask you and I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life and to make me into a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, while we have our eyes closed and heads bowed, if you said that prayer and you're here, raise your hand and wave it. And if you said that prayer, by the end of the service, I want you to go back to a desk back there. It's called the Connections Kiosk. And because I want to introduce you to someone who will give you a gift and tell you what your next faith step in God will be. If you said that prayer, you're watching online, touch that hand into the bottom of the screen. We'll do the same things. We'll connect you by phone to someone who could talk to you what your next adventure in Jesus Christ will be. Amen? Thank you so much for joining us.